and thank you for joining us for the first TRADOC Leader Professional Development Discussion of 2022. I'm Sarah Houck, the Command Information Chief for TRADOC's Communication Directorate, and I'll be moderating today's event. We're starting the new year with a discussion on creating culture through leadership, and to help lay out this important aspect of every institution, we've got some experts joining us. First is Lieutenant General Maria Gervais, Deputy Commanding General of TRADOC. Welcome, ma'am. It's always a great time to have you here with us for the LPD. Last time you were with us, you were actually on the other side as a guest and a panelist. So it's great to have you in studio and on the other side of things. So welcome, ma'am.
Well, thank you, Sarah. It's great to be back again and to be on this side. And so good morning, teammates, and Happy New Year. I mean, it is a great honor to be able to host this very first Leader Professional Development Seminar. I mean, when you're thinking about it, I mean, culture and leadership. What two great topic areas to talk about. And also to be the host and with our guest, Jenny Clark. I mean, absolutely amazing if you've read her bio and what she's done throughout her career. I mean, what she's going to talk about from what her experience has been, you're going to find is going to be very similar to what we are discussing inside of the Army. So, Sarah, it's a great opportunity to be here, and thank you so much, and I look forward to the discussion.
Absolutely, and we are super excited to have Ms. Jenny Clark with us today, and you as well, ma'am, so thanks again for being part of the discussion. Like I mentioned earlier, today we're going to talk about leadership and how it's so vital in shaping an organization's culture. Today's guest, Ms. Jenny Clark, is a holistic leadership strategist and former director of executive recruiting at Google. Ms. Clark is a proven expert at driving diverse leadership and has advised at the highest levels of corporate America for decades. She's helped thousands of executives elevate their careers through her expertise. At Google, she led the company's diversity, non-tech recruiting, and leadership internal mobility teams. She found and hired many of the organization's senior leaders and built and scaled an internal mobility program that supports their executive recruiting function to this day. She's an author and host of a podcast for leaders, thinkers, and future makers. Today, she is the CEO of Jenny Clark LLC, her own talent and leadership consulting business. And we're so excited to have her here today. Ms. Clark, thank you for joining us.
Sarah, thank you so much. It's a true honor to be with you today. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And pleasure's all ours, ma'am. I know we're super excited for this conversation. So just before we get started, I do want to remind everyone that's joined us that we want you to join the discussion. We've got some really great people here. We want you to ask questions for them. So drop your questions into the comments feed on either the Facebook Live or the watch feed, and we'll try to get them answered before the end of the event. And if we aren't able to, certainly keep an eye on our social media pages, and we'll try to get answers to those questions and get them posted in the near future. And now that we've introduced everyone and gotten everyone excited about this conversation, let's go ahead and get started. The first question is going to go out to you, Ms. Clark. So could you start by explaining what exactly culture is of an organization?
Yeah, you know, I think culture has is often kind of conflated with the term brand, right? And there is an element of a brand, but I think the culture is really what guides how the employees behave, how they feel, and how they think. You know, Google has this reputation for having this really fun culture with food and ping pong tables and all these things. And all of that is true, and we enjoyed that. But that's not necessarily the culture, that's the environment, right? And there's a whole social, psychological environment of an organization that is defined by the culture. And I contend that leaders really shape that by virtue of their behaviors, both on the job and off the job, right? It doesn't, it follows you around. So I really describe culture as the environment and the experiences of the people in the organization.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate that. And I think it's huge that you've mentioned that the culture is based on experiences and behaviors and how those behaviors of leadership can directly affect employees and other individuals' actual experiences within that organization. So.
That's right.
I'd never actually heard it described like that, so I really appreciate that. Now, I wanted to jump over to General Gervais real fast, because I know culture can be described very differently in the private sector and then through the military. So, General Gervais, what do you think? Are there similarities for, say, the Army culture? The Army's been very focused on adjusting their culture and making it more an inviting and trusting and respecting situation. So, General Gervais, what did you hear any similarities between how Ms. Clark described culture within the civilian sector and how we try to build culture here in through TRADOC and then the Army as a whole?
Yeah, hey, so great question. And, you know, as if you listen to what Jenny Clark said, I mean, you know, it is what really guides the organization and how we act. So if you think about it, the similarities between what she said and the Army, I mean, it is very similar. So, for example, the culture that we have, our foundational elements are our values, leadership, loyalty, duty, respect, honor, integrity, personal courage. I mean, if you think about that, and selfless service too, those are our values. And those values are very fundamental on who we are, what we want to do, and what we stand for. And so, as you know, as you think, look at it, the similarities, I mean, each and every day, it is what guides us. It's what our leaders stand for, but more importantly, it's what we stand for as an Army. And, you know, to think about it, so culture, what is the output of culture? I mean, what is it that you're trying to do through that a culture that you establish through leadership? I mean, it is trust. It is trust from the bottom up, to the up and bottom down, right? And trust is the bedrock of everything that we do and we have to do within the Army. And, you know, from that trust, it creates that environment that Jenny talked about, being able to thrive, empower, form inclusive teams. So I saw so many similarities. It was just said a little bit differently, but it really does help with the vision and who we are and what our values are. So great, I mean, great synergy here between our discussion.
Absolutely, and I completely agree. Sometimes I think it's hard for us as a society to make the connections that how organizations like Google and Ms. Clark's new organization that she's CEO of and the Army and military as a whole build their organizations. I think it's hard sometimes to see those similarities. And so I think it's great to hear that organizations like the Army or civilians build their foundation the same way across the board. So, Jenny, what as an expert in kind of talent management, how important is talent management to building a successful culture, which is based on experiences and behaviors of individuals?
It's critically important because I fear that a lot of companies, and let me remind many of you, my knowledge of history and the history of work is that most corporations were set up and organized based on a paramilitary structure. The hierarchy is something that we have emulated for, you know, centuries, right? And there are good things and not so good things about that. And I think, you know, maybe it's worth chatting about, particularly given COVID, what have been some of the shifts that might be happening in the future of work. Having said that, what I've always admired about the military is that there are constructs that people are expected to honor. There's an infrastructure, there's a foundation. And to me, in organizations, and having been, I'd never really seen myself as being an HR person, but at Google, that's where I sat. I had been an executive recruiter, which was quite different. But even though that's what I did at Google. And so it was interesting to really see how the systems really needed to be reestablished and importantly honored, and they weren't always honored. And I'll use Google as an example because it's a very young organization. It's only 22 years old or 23 years old. That's a young whippersnapper when you think about it, right? And they were this fast-growing startup, And my observation is that they really didn't impose some of those structures that would support a more consistent respect and honor. And accountability is a key word. I know that's one of the key words in the Army, right? Everybody needs to hold themselves accountable. What are you holding yourself accountable to? Your behaviors need to be consistent with the values, as General Gervais mentioned. They need to be supporting trust. They need to be able to influence how certain outcomes. And so I think we need to kind of go back a lot of, and this is where I think the military has an advantage, because these systems are in place. And from what I can gather, there's a greater level of accountability than I think that what we're seeing. And kind of what I'm referring to, I'm not here trying to badmouth Google by any stretch. I'm referring to some of the other companies that we've heard about, and I should say organizations, not just companies, but government officials recently that we've seen have to step down because of bad behavior, toxic workplaces. And those, that's happening because people weren't honoring the foundational elements that were set forth to say, this is what we expect of you and your behavior while you are part of this organization. And to the extent you can't honor those things, you can't stay here. And so I think we need to get a lot more, corporate America could benefit from being a little bit more strict on some of those things.
Yeah, hey, Jenny, I think that's absolutely a tremendous point you just made. Because, you know, culture, it's not like, you know, you get a culture and it just stays the same, right? I mean, I think if I recall, you and I talked about at Google where you were hiring about 20,000, you know, every year. Well, in the Army, you know, we represent the fabric of America, and we're recruiting, you know, about 100,000 and turning it over and training about 500,000 each year. So when you look at that, you know, that foundational element and understanding that, and kind of what does right look like and what are the expectations that we have from you, I mean, is so critical, because getting that understood, because you use the word accountability, which is key, right? So the Army is a profession. You know, we take an oath, expectations for, you know, defending our nation. And with that oath, I mean, because we're a profession, we need to, what I call, police ourselves, right? We police ourselves, and that's got to happen down at the lowest levels and up the upper levels, too. Because, you know, the thing that when it's not, it breaks that trust. And so, you know, when we talk about the accountability or police in ourselves, you know, it's interesting, and I'd be curious to hear your perspective. You know, leaders, and especially we see it at the Army, we kind of lay out the expectations. This is what we expect from you. These are our values. This is what right looks like. So we kind of set the tone to establish the climate. But the question becomes, where is the climate actually being established? At what level, by who? And if you know, you know, what is being done, and is it being enforced or policed at the right levels? Because you could be saying one thing and your audio not be matching your video. I'd be curious, you know, if you think about that from your perspective, your experience.
I love the audio not matching the video phrase. That's absolutely so true. And I think there's an element in this that I feel very strongly about, and that is because I'm a rule follower for the most part. I'm not perfect, but I mean, that's part of what we're saying is there are expectations, and there's plenty of room to do things your way, but you take that oath because it's for the betterment of all. And so part of what I think in my experience in assessing top leaders is there's an element, and this word has been tossed around a lot since COVID started happening, this notion of empathy. And I think leaders' responsibility is to really be able to take a pulse of their teams and understand what they're going through, because not everybody is okay. You know, I don't want this to sound like we want everybody just to fall in line and there's no regard for one's humanity. I think we do need that more than ever. And again, I do think, I'm not suggesting that the Army doesn't do that. I actually think that you do a better job of it than a lot of corporations do. because I think a lot of corporations have gone too far to focus on just profitability and trying to get things done and trying to get people hired and things that aren't really making individuals conscious of the greater collective that they are a part of. And so I think we need to balance the conversation by saying the culture is going to be a function of not just the leader's behavior, but as well the behaviors of the individuals and the extent to which they can feel included, supported, valued, right, for what their contributions are. And some of that becomes very, it's a feeling, right? It's not an absolute. We're still human. We still need to feel and have that empathy.
Those are really great points that you make, Jenny, about being people and making people feel as if they're part of something bigger and they're included in the larger picture. Because I know over the last 2 years or so, the Army has been really, really focused on adjusting their culture and introducing a culture that speaks to those that we are wanting to join us. So we have adjusted how we're communicating the values of the Army and how they can play into the team of that, because we know that different generations see a culture and see the Army through a different lens. So I think it's really interesting that you actually bring up some of those kind of trigger words that the Army has been using when trying to adjust their culture. And I think we've made some great strides. And actually, General Gervais, that's a question that I have for you, is the Army has been working so very hard on adjusting their culture. So what are some of the wins that you've seen us and TRADOC make as a whole to adjust our culture? And what do you think some of our challenges are going to be as we continue to implement and try to get this culture to start from the leaders who are making these decisions all the way down to that brand new recruit who we need to accept our culture and believe in our culture? So what are some of those wins and challenges we've had so far, do you think, General Gervais?
Yeah, hey, so, you know, if you think about it, within TRADOC, because of what we do in terms of, you know, doctrine for our Army, which guides what we do, and then also organization, our training and leader development, how we educate. And then the fact that our sessions mission kind of is the recruitment piece, where we bring in, you know, the new kind of civilians, and we take them through a process so that they become a soldier in our basic combat training or our one station unit training piece of that. So when you take a look at that, you really drive change in our Army through all of these lenses that I just talked about. And so when you just start with, what are we doing in our basic combat training? You know, I will tell you, if you talk to, you know, those that have went through before, they're going to tell you about the time, you know, where you came in, you know, you got them off the bus, you were in their face, and, you know, it was very intense process. We've kind of changed our approach as we bring in these new young soldiers with, it's still intense. The intensity comes from having to actually execute the task and become a member of that team. Where we've changed is how we bring them in. We bring them in and we show them how our professionalism. We show them the importance of the mission that we do. And we create the situation where they want to be part of that team because of what we do each and every day. We've also changed inside of our basic combat training the model. The model is now going to allow the first 2 weeks is now going to really be focused on those things that really they have to understand. You know, the things in terms of what our values are, why they're important, you know, the different processes that what right looks like. For example, you know, what might have been okay at home to call somebody is not what we expect here. Now, you know, I think what's important here is we just got to remember when people are a product of growing up, right? How they grew up, what they were exposed to, what they think, you know, potentially what was right in one place may not be exactly what is right in the next. So in our basic combat training, we've changed the first 2 weeks so that we can really drill down and focus on that very heavily to so that we can start to set the stage, because you want them to understand that from the very beginning.